Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. So the last time that we were together, we looked at verse 1, which said, set your hearts on things above. And the reason we do that is we've been raised with Christ. We have new life. That led to the new desire that we focus on heavenly things, because Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that position of right hand of the Father is the highest authority and power that you can get. And then Paul followed that up by not only set our hearts on things above, where Christ is sitting, but also to think about heavenly things. And this, I think last week I talked about reevaluating our lives, what we're spending our time on. How are we using that time each day? And where is that time spent? I think it was two hours a day is spent on Facebook for adults. That's quite a bit, particularly when many of us have to work. It's kind of a good thing I can't get on it at work because it blocks Facebook. So I'm not in that two-hour group. And then instead of looking at the earthly things, which is temporal, that we evaluate and look at our thoughts to the heavenly things. So this morning, Paul's moving through this. He's going to talk next week about some issues. But to start with, our old self is dead. Our old self is dead. Verse 3a, the reality that we have died. Paul writes it this way, for you have died. Apathenesko. It has four different meanings in the Greek language. And I found this interesting because I had to go back and look at it. It's been several years since I preached on Colossians. But it does mean to die physically. It can mean to die physically. And at some point, we all have to walk through that portal. That's the end of life issues. And at some point, we will pass physically. It can mean to die each day. And we know that the Christian life is one in which we are constantly dying to ourselves and living to Christ. One scripture that comes out is 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Jesus Christ our Lord, I die daily. So it certainly could mean that we die daily, but Paul's talking about a very specific word here. This is an interesting one, too. It can mean twice dead. And the scripture from that comes from the book of Jude. These men are hidden reefs, clouds, when he's speaking about false teachers, carried away by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead and uprooted. So it can mean in the spiritual sense that these people are dead, and it could mean that here. But more than likely, this apathenesko refers to be dead, a real but non-physical death. So Paul is saying here, you have died. There was a time when you were alive to the world, dead to God, but when you trust in Jesus Christ and you invite him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, at that moment, and you confess your sins and he comes in and the Holy Spirit comes in, that life is now dead. And we come over to this side of the ledger where we have been made alive. That part of our lives is dead. That means that everything you ever did in your past, bad, ugly, indifferent, that's done away with because of the blood of Christ on the cross. We have died. That is a past tense. We have died. Not that we are dying daily. We have died to this world by virtue of our relationship with Christ. We're dead. We cannot be resuscitated spiritually on this side of the fence because we have died. That's really something to get into our minds as Paul will unpack this. Romans 6:8 says it this way, but seeing that we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. There's There's no middle road. There's no middle road when it comes to spiritual issues. You're either dead living apart from Christ, or you are alive, dead to the things of the world. And since we're over on this side of the ledger, we believe we shall also live with him. Romans 6:6-7 says this way, says it this way: for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. This is the issue. Paul's driving at the issue of, on this side of the fence, you have sin, rebellion against God. You have all of these terrible things that we see taking place in our culture today. That is a sinful estate. That is a sinful lifestyle. But when we trust in Jesus Christ, that lifestyle is gone. Listen, the day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and his blood cleansed you from all unrighteousness, every sin that you ever committed is gone. It's dead. You don't have to carry those sins anymore with you. Now, and that has also been broken. Spiritual death to sin. Spiritual is more powerful than physical. And so Paul sets it right up here. Very simple, four little words. For you have died. Think of yourself this week as you go out those doors, that you have died to what's out there. And out there in the world, man, oh man, you look at the news. My goodness. Transgender dolls taking place in Minnesota. It's in the classrooms. I mean, it's just so bizarre what is taking place in our culture. But we're dead to that. We died to that. That power has been broken. Quite amazing how people can be totally alive in this world, yet totally spiritually dead to the things of God. Now, this leads to another one. Paul wanted to make sure that you understood, and I understood, that we are dead. We died to it. There's no resuscitation once you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then Paul antes up. And you could even say he doubles down on this issue. And we're going to look now at security. Look at what he writes in verse 3b. And your life, I love this. I went through this one a little longer this week because there's so many things in these little verses that are unique and special to the New Testament. Listen to this. And your life, that's you, that's me, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let me say that again. You are dead. You have died spiritually, and your new life, the life that you have trusted in Christ, is hidden with Christ in God. Now, this with Christ, I've been talking about it for a better part of a chapter and a half, that we live in combination with Jesus. We are with Jesus. But there's something different here. And this by the way, this your life is hidden with. That one little word with is soon, which means a marker of association in relation to something. So your life, the life that you now live in Christ, is in relationship with Christ in God. Let me throw something at you here. In God, and the Greek word there is in, that's how it's pronounced. Listen to this. That one little word, in. In, one with, in union with, or joined closely to. In God, this is shocking, in God is only mentioned 8 times in the New Testament. So when I study a passage of Scripture and I get stuck on that one word and this other stuff starts popping up, I go, that's interesting. In God is only mentioned 8 times in the New Testament. And for me, that means dig deep, because this is a rare occurrence of this in God. In God is mentioned in Luke 1:47, John 3:21, Romans 12:17, Galatians 4:9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, and 1 Peter 4:6. Here's the kicker. Listen to this. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. With Christ in God is only mentioned, only here in the Scripture. And I think what Paul is getting at here is that we are doubly secure. If we have died with Christ, then there has to be something on this side of the fence of great value. And Paul says, look, your life is hidden with Christ in God. That means that it is doubly secure. It's something that cannot go away. It is something that cannot be resuscitated over here on this side of the fence, because when you make that transformation over here, you are here to stay. And no matter what you do in your life, and every one of us, including myself, this week, we're going to sin, stumble, and fall at some point. We're going to make a mistake. We're going to think wrong thoughts. We're going to do something that really is out of character for us. But you know what? We're dead. And that sin is then filed under the umbrella of God's grace. That's fascinating. And I underlined it twice. This is the only time with Christ in God is mentioned in the New Testament. That is crazy. We've seen this word life, zeo, in the Greek language, which means to be alive. You can be apart from Christ and is alive, breathing, walking, talking, but you're dead to the things of God. Real life, the eternal life, is found on this side of the fence. This is gone. This is new. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Then there's the word hidden. Crypto. Just so fat. Paul was a master. I mean, I know he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and God. This word can mean to hold a shield over something. That doesn't occur in the New Testament, but it does occur in the Old Testament. But it means, listen to this, and I'm just going to read it right from my notes, to cause to be safe or protected by hiding. In some context, with the intent of not being found. To keep safe, to cause to be protected, to protect or to hide. Satan cannot get to you when you're in Christ. He has no more power or authority. This week I watched one of those silly little videos that pop up. And they were in a barn, and it showed a donkey and her little baby. And this fox ran up trying to grab the baby and pull it away. Well, the mother donkey started kicking around and she broke free and she picked up that poor fox and smacked him on the ground, back, back, and then threw him way up in the air. I kind of felt sorry for the fox. I know he's probably hungry, but I mean, that little fox was getting beat. I mean, first round knockout. That mom was mad. Picked him up and slammed him about 7 times on the ground, then flipped him way up in the air. The fox hit the ground and he... God protects us. God protects us. There was a guy in our Bible squad. I know his first name was Marcus, but we were in Dr. Windsor's class. Marcus was telling us he was on his way to school that day, and all of a sudden the road, it was pouring down rain, and he kind of lost control of the vehicle. And he went into the median, was able to get the car back up on the interstate, and he said his heart was... He got to school and he relayed that, and Marcus goes, God was really protecting me. And I'll never forget what Dr. Windsor said. He said, that's one you know about. That's one you know about. Y'all know what that is? That's Fort Knox. Did you know, and I did not know this till I researched it, Fort Knox is the most secure building in the world. The President of the United States cannot get in without written permission. And there are valuable things in there. Currency. It is highly guarded. There's no way, I mean, even out here, there's just no way to get into that place. And if you were to try to attack it from the air, don't worry, they've got airplanes right there ready to knock you out. Let me say this. Do you know how valuable you are? Do you know how valuable you are? You are of such great value that God went to such great lengths to sacrifice His Son for you and for me. And when we trust in Him, God protects us. He shields us. He watches over us. There's never a time when we are outside of Christ. There is never a time when we're left out on our own, because God stands watch with Jesus in God, stands watch over our lives, and nothing will come against us and ultimately defeat us because of who we have guarding us. That's important. And I think Paul said, you know what, I got to tell these guys, here at Colossae, I got to tell them your life is hidden with Christ. They can't find you because you are shielded by Jesus and by God. This really spoke to me this week, how valuable I am to God. But more importantly, how valuable each one of you are to God. You are a treasure in the kingdom of God. So valuable, so important, that God, with Jesus in God, protects your life. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? That you are of such great worth. Don't ever get in your Christian walk and go, I'm nothing, I can't do anything, I don't know, I'm just not worth anything. You are of great value to God. And you let God protect you, and you let God give you the source of life. Max Anders and his commentary. I'm just getting warmed up, folks. Get ready. Max Anders in his commentary, page 327, writes this: a glance back, we died, gives rise to the glimpse now. In the present, our life is hidden with Christ in God. The reference to hidden can refer to safety or secrecy. And he's right. I just explained both of those cases. In fact, both are probably in view. Our life, he said it. I wrote it down and then follow the commentaries, and he just repeated what I said. Listen to what he writes. Our life is doubly secure since it is with Christ in God. Ain't no barrier you can break that. There's no secret code that you can get beyond that. This is a comforting reminder of the truth found in John 10, 28 and 29. No one can snatch the believer out of the hand or out of the Father's hand. This is why I preach once in Christ, always in Christ. This is why I preach it so dang hard, because we are eternally secure in what Christ did on the cross. And when we trust in Him, we are doubly secure. I love this verse. It was so, it just spoke to me as I was going through this. John 10, 28 and 30, Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one, doubly secure." Does it mean that we're not going to sin? Nope. We're still in this flesh. We're going to sin. But the fact is, God has us. We're protected, safe. Psalm 28:7, talk about the shield. Let's trace it back, and this is where it goes to. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Try to get past that. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy. And with my song, I praise him. Let me remind you this morning of how valuable you are and that God is protecting your life. And on that day that we're faced with the portal, you can rest assured that he'll be there with you to take you to where he is. Our old self is dead. Oh, I'm getting excited. I'm starting to sound like a singing pastor. Our future is glorious. Our old life is dead, but our future life is glorious. Have you ever heard those singing pastors? They get up there, oh, 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 oh. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's fun though, isn't it, when they sing like that? You can walk. You like that, huh? I'm not going to sing anymore. I'm done with it. Our future is glorious and he is coming. Listen to this. When Christ, who is your life, appears, Christos, which is the word for Messiah or anointed one, God's special choice to carry the message. Who is your life? Zeo, which means to be alive. When Christ, who is your life, to be alive spiritually, First John 4:9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. He is our life. He's our life. This life I live now in the flesh, I do not live according to the ways of the world. I try not to, but I live to please him. I told one of my coworkers this week, I got to be careful about this, but I said, ultimately, you play for an audience of one. And that made her stop. I said, you only play for an audience of one, and that one knows you better than anybody. We live through him. His life and his spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives through us and we live through him. We live in combination with him. We are doubly secure. Richard Mellick, in his commentary, writes it this way. Christians appear as dead to the things of the world, but very, very much alive with the source of life that goes beyond this world and what this world can provide. The new life is Christ. He energizes Christians, enabling them to be and do what they should. He made a footnote here. It should be emphasized that Paul did not say Christ provides life, though of course he does, and scriptures attest to it. Here he stated Christ is life. That is the point. Everything, our whole lives now become about Jesus. How can we go back over here when we're dead to it? Because our life's over here now. That's our old life. That's our old way. Over here, God gives us everything that we need. He energizes. And I know there's times in your life and times in my life when you think you can't take another step. But you're here. You're listening to some Southern Baptist pastor ramble on about how secure you are this morning. And trying to sing like a singing preacher. And then he uses the word here, when Christ, who is your life, appears. Phanero. To cause to become visible. To make visible. Cause to be seen. Got to get a little fuel for the upcoming ramble. So, there's two ways that we can see him. Phanero, to make visible, to be seen. The first way is when we pass from this life to the next. We will see him. That's as sure as I'm standing here. The other way, which would be cool, would be here. And I know it's a lot to read, and I'm going to unpack this. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-8. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, that's the rapture of the church. It's going to be visible. We ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by spoken word or letter, seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has already come. So, there were letters being circulated at Thessalonica, false letters that wrongly stated that you guys missed the boat. He's already come. And it caused some problems. And listen what Paul goes on to say. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion or the apostasy comes first, and then, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. So there's coming a day when there's going to be an apostasy that happens, and then also Satan's going to be revealed. But how does that come about? Well, do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you of these things? And you know what is restraining him now so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Watch television. Stuff that's crazy is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is taken out of the way. This word he, it's a rare occurrence of it, but it refers to the Holy Spirit. So what does this mean? Let me finish it and then I'll kind of explain it. Until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth, and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. So this is the way I like to explain the rapture. And there is some debate about the day of the Lord and the rapture being the same thing and the second coming of Christ. I'm a pre-trib preacher. That means I don't believe any part of the church is going to go through the Great Tribulation. I base that on the fact that in Revelation 1:1-3 is the only mention of the church, and then the church is gone the rest of the way. Here's what happens. We're in that day. I always like to say this is like a stage and pretend like there's a curtain over here. And we're out here looking at the curtain before it's opened or before the curtain goes up. And we see movement behind the curtain. We see the activity of Satan. We see it moving. But then think of it this way. When that stage curtain goes up, everything becomes visible. So when Christ comes back and we go to meet him in the air, the Holy Spirit and the church are taken out of the way. Satan will then come and dupe the world. And of course, then we get into the millennial reign of Christ when we come back. But those are the two ways. Those are the two ways that we can see Christ, either upon our death or when he comes back and we look up and the church is taken up out of this earth. The church is the only reason why things haven't gone completely bananas. I mean, I know they're bananas now. And you start studying Revelation and the two witnesses, I think they're going to be tried and killed on national television worldwide. There's a lot of interpretations in Revelation. Maybe I did do a series on that. Maybe I need to go back and do it again. I don't know. But when we see the activity of Satan, so many things, some of it is sickening to me. I think it was in Ohio, they found many kids locked in a basement. Who does that? Satan. That's who does that. A guy goes into Chick-fil-A and has a submachine gun. Who does that? Satan does that. This is the world we live in, unfortunately. But we're going to see him. That's the point. He's coming. When Christ, who is your life, appears, we will see him one way or the other. There's absolutely no middle ground. Then, not only will we see him, but we will appear with him in glory. Praise God. Praise God, right? Amen. Then, listen to this, just two little verses, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. There's no mistaking that. This is an interesting word here, and I want to go a little technical here just because I think it's important that you know it. It's the same word that we just looked at, panero. That word is a verb in the Greek. It's an action word. It is also future and passive. So it basically means, future passive means that the object, me, is being acted upon by something outside. And we know who that is. That's Christ. He's acting upon us. But then there's something here that I really think it's important that you know this. Maybe you don't think it's important, but I do. It's also in the indicative mood. In Greek language, they have these different moods, and it really helps clarify the word more. The indicative mood, is used over 5,000 times in the New Testament. And there's a reason why it's used there. Because the writer views in the indicative mood, he views that as an absolute fact. Not open to debate, not open to discussion. It's a fact. So when he says, you will also appear with him in glory, that's a fact. And he's even, and the mood's elevated, so he's really trying to drive this home. Paul wants them to get it. This is a fact. When Christ, who is your life, appears, whether at the end of your life, whether at the rapture of the church, when we see him, we will appear with him in glory. That's a fact. That changes the understanding of the text, I think. Did I ever tell you guys and gals I like to preach? It's also passive in the sense that something is happening, but it's future, which means the passive is here. Paul didn't put you died for fun. He put you died and over here, this is everything that's going to happen moving forward. Your life is hidden in Christ, and when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will be with him in glory. Done. Don't argue. Do you know the Apostle Paul? Man, he was killing Christians before he got saved. So Paul's writing this. He knows because, guess what? He saw the risen Savior on the road to Damascus while he was carrying out death threats against the church. Do you remember that one? He saw. Paul goes, yeah, I've seen this. I know this. And so Paul just, I mean, if you could put in an exclamation point four times, that's what Paul's saying. In the indicative mood, he's saying, this is fact. No need to argue it. No need to debate it. We don't need to have a committee on committees trying to debate this. It's a fact that when we die, we go to heaven and we see him. And there's no 15-minute rule where you got to wait. You go immediately. When Christ, who is our life, appears, we will also appear with him in glory. That's a fact. What kind of life will that be? That's a big question. You know, I think why people get spooked is we've never been in a disembodied state. This is how we've always been. So that which is beyond is a little scary, unknown, uncharted territory. John 21:1, later Jesus appeared, same word, again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened, and he goes in. There's also another verse. Afterwards, Jesus, this is post-resurrection, both. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. We're going to be in a different form. If we're united with Christ in his death, we are also united with him in his resurrection. And in the twinkling of an eye, you know, what is the twinkling of an eye? I don't know what that is, really. It's a wink. But it's quick. In the twinkling of an eye, this body's gone. And I got a new body. Revelation 21. There'll be no more death, no more crying, no more pain. It's gone. And we can rejoice in that. Oh, my boy, Warren Wiersbe. We're going to close it with Warren. Fireside chat. Christ is now seated at the right hand. But one day he will come to take his people home. When he does, we shall enter glory with Christ. He is revealed in his glory. We shall be revealed in glory. According to the apostle, yes, yes, yes. According to the apostle, we have already been glorified. Praise God, right? This glory simply has not yet been revealed, but it will be. In some sense, in a real sense, we are positionally righteous with God by the virtue of Jesus' death, covering our sins with his blood, and we're positionally righteous with God. And the fact that our sin is completely done away with is answered in this question. Does God allow sin into heaven? Absolutely not. So if the Bible says that I will appear with God in Christ in glory, then my sin has to be done away with. And that's why Jesus came. So when God looks at you, he no longer sees your past. He sees who's in your heart. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Once we trust in Christ, our old life is gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, new has come. Remember this today before you go out, that you are of such value to God. By the way, every life is of great value to God. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, new has come. Secondly, we are secure. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Double security. Satan or nothing else can pick that lock to get beyond that. Someday, we will either pass from this life into glory, or he will come and get the church by way of the rapture or the day of the Lord. I hope this has helped you. I hope that this has secured your faith more this week as you go out into a world that desperately needs to know what we know. Right? They need to know what we know. Let's pray.